Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One size fits all, the sign read over that shrink-wrapped bin, plastic, bagged rain gear. I, however, should have known better. Nonetheless, I bought a poncho, and weeks later, when for the first time I pulled it out of that shrink wrap to stave off the effects of what was becoming a cold, torrential downpour during a day-long hike, I discovered my one-size-fits-all bargain poncho was far more like a four-man tent. It rendered me completely immobile, a silly-looking mound of plastic. I have learned to distrust the one-size-fits-all come-ons, except when it comes to the Old Testament Psalter. With the Psalms, it's a different matter. Being poetry, the Psalms travel with a tight economy of words while bringing along the complete panoply of the human condition, and while arising out of specific events in the lives of real particular people, the Psalms nonetheless sweep everyone of every time and every place right into the action. You don't have to read too far into the Psalter to realize how right into your very own life they step. Here indeed, one size fits all. And that goes for the appointed psalm portion for this week of Pentecost 12, the psalm verses we just sang. The superscription on this psalm tells us it was written by David when the Philistines seized him in Gath. Now, if Psalm 34 is indeed a psalm written by David sometime after this occasion, or if it was later ascribed to him, being, if you will, in the Davidic mode, in other words, being of David, really makes little difference to the sweep of the psalm. It will finally be of David and of everybody else, including the prominent Old Testament prophet we encountered in the Old Testament reading for this week of Pentecost 12, the prophet Elijah. These verses of Psalm 34 are about all of us. One size fits all. The specific history surrounding the superscription of Psalm 34 is quite instructive. The slaying of monstrous Goliath not only spelled triumph for David, it spelled trouble. Trouble with King Saul. Saul could, frankly, hardly keep a lid on his outright jealousy. He hounded David relentlessly, driving him to hide out in countryside and city, driving him day and night, wearing him down. Not that David didn't try. Fact is, he tried every conceivable trick in the book, so to speak, until finally, of all things, he resorted to attempting asylum with Israel's mortal enemy, the Philistines. David sought political asylum with one of the great Philistine lords, Achish, in Gath. However, as soon as David's identity was uncovered, he knew his proverbial goose was cooked. A long shot turned deadly. 1 Samuel 21 paints David as frightened for his life. The historian writes, David was terrified of Achish, king of Gath. So, in one last-ditch attempt, he pretended to be mad, mentally unbalanced, and that got him thrown out of the country. Sometime later, either David wrote the poetry of Psalm 34, or it was written of him, sweeping together and calling to mind this long, horrendous string of events. It's the psalmist's goal here in these opening verses of Psalm 34 to call everyone within earshot to praise. Praise of Yahweh. No boasting of David. No boasting of military shrewdness nor mastery of political ploy. None of that worked. It wasn't God's way of his doing, in the way of his promise. In the Lord I will boast, writes the psalmist. Glorify Yahweh with me. And here you see the subject's right. The subject is not David, not anyone else. The subject is no one other than God. Sin leads us to rely on our own resources, our own strength, our own shrewdness, our own education, our own set of life's experiences. Puny, paltry, our downfall, and finally, our death. Even when we think it ought to work because we've done it all by the book, like Elijah, faithful servant of the Lord, laid out under a broom tree, hounded and harried by Jezebel and company, eager to give it up, to die. It wasn't supposed to go like this for one who so faithfully was doing it by the book. But God had his way. His is the way of rescue, of deliverance, always surprising, always when the chips are down and there is no way out. The Lord himself opens the way by himself becoming the way. Confesses the psalmist, this poor wretch cried out to the Lord. He heard him and saved him. Glorify the Lord with me. That says it. One size fits all. The smaller event of miraculous and merciful rescue from the Philistine enemies enlarges to the praise of God for his greater, his final rescue. In the economy of words which poetry affords, the psalmist tells the bigger story that becomes far greater than the event to which it originally referred. For here, as in every case where the Old Testament scriptures speak of God coming to the rescue of his people, here is foreshadowed the great rescue. Great David's greater son, come to snatch us all from our enemies. Come to claim us as his own. When the chips were down, while we were yet sinners, having no hope, Christ came to the rescue. In the words of the psalmist, he has set us free. Free to be totally dependent upon him, or in the words of Luther, free to live under him in his kingdom, to serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Therefore, in the words of the psalmist, the praise of Yahweh always finds its place upon our lips. The story we have to tell, the praise we are given to sing our entire lives, a high doxology of praise unto him who has delivered us from all our enemies, our Lord himself being our very refuge now within all of life's trial. You see, the net of praise is cast over us. One size fits all, but more. This net of praise continues to be cast out from us. The psalmist here would not only sweep us together into this net of praise as we recall our deliverance by the Lord, but also he would have us sing those praises right into the world's ear. As you and I daily savor the Lord's rich goodness in our own lives, we invite others who still taste and see only the bitterness of life lived under the taskmasters of death and hell, we invite them to experience for themselves the great saving grace and abundant goodness of our God, until together standing before his glorious throne, his praise is indeed continually on our lips. What a psalm! What a psalm for all believers in Christ, but especially for those who would be pastors and servants in his church. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and join in the praise of him who saves us out of all our troubles. These words come as a fitting cap to the first week in this, the 162nd year of Concordia Seminary. This psalm fits you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.